In Mark chapter 15, if you want to find your place there in the Bible, and we'll read a few verses to start with tonight. Mark chapter number 15, and it's been several weeks now since we've been able to get back to our study in the book of Mark, so been looking forward to that, and we're going to read the first six verses of Mark chapter number 15, and we'll read verses 1 through 6. The Bible said, "And straightway in the morning the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering said unto him, Thou sayest it. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired." And that's as far as we're going to go tonight. We're going to look at this. I would take a title tonight, or what I would call this. I would just call this Jesus before Pilate. And I thought about going on down through verse number 15. It starts talking about Barabbas. That's the prisoner. But I wanted to take Barabbas and keep him separate from Pilate and look at them both as individuals tonight. So we'll be dealing primarily with Jesus before Pilate and what the Bible says about him. Somebody said he was the most famous Roman that ever lived, that he was the most famous judge that ever lived. And most people, if you know anything about the Bible, you know something about Pilate. Now, we left chapter number 14, and like I said, it's been several weeks ago now, and chapter number 14, I was reading it again this morning. It's a long chapter. I don't think I realized it, that it was, since we were taking it just a few verses at a time, but there's 72 verses in Mark chapter number 14, so that's a pretty long chapter in the Bible, and several things happened in Mark chapter number 14. Jesus had been betrayed by Judas in Mark chapter number 14, and the last thing we seen last time is that Peter had denied the Lord. In Mark chapter number 14, all of the disciples forsook him and fled. That's what it says in chapter 14 and verse number 50. And they all forsook him and fled. And when we left last time in Mark chapter number 14, Jesus was in the hand of his enemies. And if you look back in chapter 14, verse 55, the Bible said over there, "And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none." And that's where that's what we found last time. Verse number 64, the Bible said, "Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And so the Jews had gotten together, and they'd had a mock trial, or they'd had a trial. There wasn't much of a trial to it, but they'd had a trial, and they had found him guilty of being put to death. Chapter number 15, as we've started out, is the dawn of the next morning. The Bible said in verse number 1, chapter 15, verse 1, "And straightway in the morning the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes." So we see this happens the next morning. And if you also remember in chapter number 14, was something that took place all in one day. Everything that happened in chapter number 14 is within a 24-hour time period. They observed the Passover. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. They went out into the Mount of Olives. They went into the Garden of Gethsemane. The Lord Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Lord Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. They took him before the court of the Sanhedrin. All of that took place in a very short period of time in chapter number 14. And so chapter number 15 starts out just what we would say the next morning. Early the next morning, the Bible said, or straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. Now, we pointed out before who this group of men were in verse number 1, the chief priest with the elders and scribes and the whole council. That's the Sanhedrin court. 70 powerful, influential men, and they would hold court together. And so they're still doing the same thing the next morning, trying to figure out what they're going to do in order to have the Lord Jesus Christ put to death. And so we see Jesus before Pilate in these first 6 verses, and there's just some things I want to point out about it. First of all, in verse number 1, there's an alliance. There's an alliance between the Sanhedrin, the whole council. They bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. Now, we would call, or I would like to call this an unlikely alliance or an unnatural alliance. The Jews and Pilate were not fans of each other. They were not friends of one another. But we find here that Pilate and the Jews seemingly, they work together towards the same end, and that's to put the Lord Jesus Christ to death. Pilate, who he was a Roman. He was the governor over the Jew. He'd been put in charge of watching over and keeping the Jewish people sort of in line. He was the Roman governor over the Jews. Jerusalem was under the control of Rome. The Jewish land was occupied by the Romans. And so that's who Pilate was. He was the governor. He was in control of Jerusalem and watching over the Jewish people there. Now, something interesting about Pilate, very little is mentioned in history about him. Josephus, the Jewish historian, he's pretty famous, and a lot of times biblical teachers, they refer back to the historian Josephus, and Josephus tells some things about Pilate. Up until, I think, 1961, there had been nothing found about Pilate in history. But some archaeologists over there, they found an inscription and it talked about Pontius Pilate but very little. We know so much about him from the Bible, but history says very little about him. But just some of the things that Josephus had written about Pilate, he talked about the many problems between Pilate and the Jewish people. And there's some things that Pilate did that caused the Jews not to like him at all. And I'm just going to mention a few of those things that Pilate had been involved in. First of all, after Pilate was put in charge, he sent a garrison of Roman soldiers to Jerusalem one night. And in the morning, the Jews woke up and they saw there's a fresh band of soldiers out there. And the men that had ruled before Pilate, they understood that the Jews were against idolatry. And the Romans tried to respect that as much as they could. Well, the Romans worshipped the Roman emperor. And on their flags sometimes, they would put a little image of Caesar at the top of the flag. And so Pilate had sent a garrison of soldiers up there, and he had told them to keep the image on the flag, or they called it a standard. And so when the Jews got up the next morning and they looked out, and there within the shadow of the temple and all round about them were all these Roman flags. And they had a little idol upon them to Caesar, who the Romans worshipped as one of their gods. Well, to them, that was very, very abominable. And they immediately began to protest that Pilate had done this. And so they did what you see a lot of times people do in cities today. They just filled the streets up. And they begin to riot and they begin to protest. And they begin to demand that Pilate would remove those flags, remove those standards. Well, Pilate, he's the new guy in town. And if he done that, you know, that's going to make him look bad. And so this went on for 5 days there in Jerusalem. The streets are full of people. And these Jews, man, they're mad about this. And finally, Pilate, he ordered the Roman soldiers to surround the Jewish people and cut them off at the heads of the streets. And he sent word out and he demanded to them, he said, "You stop what you're doing or I'm going to just slaughter all of you." And so Pilate thought that the Jews, that threat would be enough, that they would stop the rioting and the demonstrating. But instead of stopping the Jews, they got out there and they bared their necks in front of Pilate. And they said, "We're not going to do anything until you take those standards away." Well, that made Pilate look bad. And Pilate really didn't have the heart or the authority or thought that, you know, they called his bluff on that. And so what Pilate had to do, he had to back down and he had the standards removed and he had the images taken off of them. And so Pilate lost face with the people that he's supposed to be there, the ruler over them. So that got them started off on the bad foot. And another similar thing happened one time with some shields that the Romans were carrying, and it was just about the same thing. There was another incident where Pilate was taking money out of the temple and he was using it to build an aqueduct into the city of Jerusalem. And they demonstrated over that, and they didn't think that we would call that misappropriation of funds. You see, a lot of this stuff that's going on in history, it's nothing new. And so Pilate's a politician, and he's using money in a way that it shouldn't be used. And the Jews, they were upset about it. And again, they have something against Pilate. So he had this history of not dealing well with the Jewish people, not getting along with them, not understanding their customs, not understanding or respecting their religion like others had done. There's another time that he had slaughtered a bunch of Samaritans. They had gotten out and they'd gotten together, and Pilate just went out and they didn't disband and go back home, and he killed a bunch of them, or by his authority had them killed. And so the Jews, even though they didn't get along with the Samaritans very much, Pilate just had all these problems in that area. And I point all that out just to say this: there's no love lost between the Jews and Pilate. Yet we see the Jews and Pilate working together here. There's an unlikely alliance between these two groups. Now, I got to thinking about that. There's something interesting about that. When you do not have God and His Word as your authority, then what people do, they go to the next highest authority in the world, which is human government. And that's what we see here. In Mark chapter number 15, we find the Jews, the Sanhedrin, in chapter 15, verse 1, that group of men, that's who that's talking about. They have condemned the Lord Jesus Christ to die. That's what they had decided needed to be done with the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 14, verse 64. And they all condemned him guilty to death. But the thing about the Jews was they had no power to carry out the death sentence. Only the Roman authority could carry out a death sentence. Matthew talks about this. Luke talks about it. John talks about it. John 18, verse number 31. I'm just going to read that to you tonight. Then said Pilate unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." Pilate at first didn't want anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "You take him, you judge him according to your law." The Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." They were acknowledging that they didn't have the authority to put the Lord Jesus to death. They had to come to Pilate to have that done. And so here what we have in Mark chapter number 15, you have a direct conflict between God and the government. The Jews, all of a sudden, are interested in using the Roman government for their purpose. They're setting themselves up against God. Let me say tonight, real government, true government, there should never be a conflict between God and government. There should never be a conflict. And the reason I say there should never be a conflict is because it is God Himself that ordained human government. Human government is a good thing. Human government is a necessary thing. And way back in Genesis chapter number 19, God gave the authority for man to govern over man. It says over there, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." And so in Genesis chapter number 9, you have the institution of capital punishment, the death sentence. And God gave the authority for human government. God gave the authority to government to punish evil. If you study Romans chapter number 13, you'll find the primary purpose of government is to punish evil and to be the minister of God to thee for good. So government should be for our good. And government should protect us from evil. They should punish evildoers. That is the primary purpose in the Bible of government. Now, conflict comes when men turn against God. And they turn against God's Word. And so they don't have the authority of God. They don't have the authority of God's Word. And what do? They make government their God. And we have that happening today in America. We have that happening all around the world where people, they've turned against God, they've turned against God's Word, but man needs a God, so man makes government his God. And when man makes government their God, they make government their authority. They make government their justifier for what they want to do. That's what the Jews are trying to do here. They're going to the government to get the government to justify what they want to do, which is actually against God. But if Pilate says it all right, it's going to be all right, then it must be that it's going to be all right. If the government says it's all right to abort babies, well, doesn't that make it all right? See, that's people's mindset. God says all life is precious. But if we're going to do away with God and His Word, then we go to the government and try to get the government to try to justify what's wrong. See, that's the next highest authority in the universe. It's human government. And they make government their justifier. And they make government their supplier. And they make government their punisher. They have no appeal to heaven for what they want to do to the Lord Jesus Christ. So they appeal to Caesar. See, they didn't like Rome and they didn't like Caesar. But now all of a sudden they want to do something that's against God's Word, so they appeal to Caesar. That's exactly where we are today in America. And that same situation is described in Romans chapter number 1 when it says about that generation in verse 25 who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. And it describes a whole generation of people over there that turned against the truth of God and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And so we find that same thing happening today. There's an unlikely alliance. Isn't it odd that the Jews would go to Pilate and get him in on what they were trying to do? Well, in verse number 2, there's an answer. The Bible said in verse number 2, "And Pilate asked him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering said unto him, Thou sayest it." Now, the Jews had condemned Jesus to die. And I went over this before a few weeks ago. The reason that they had finally come to the death sentence concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jews said, because of blasphemy. Now, if you look back in chapter 14, and we'll read beginning in verse number 60 and just sort of refresh our minds concerning this. The Bible said, and the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Now when he said, "Art thou the Christ," he was saying, "Art thou the Messiah? Are you the Messiah?" That's what he wanted to know. And Jesus said, "I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, "What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. Blasphemy. That's what they had finally condemned the Lord Jesus Christ over. They said that he had committed blasphemy. To commit blasphemy is to take the Lord's name in a reproachful way. Like we say, taking God's name in vain. That's blasphemy. Saying something derogatory towards the Lord. That's blasphemy. If somebody stood up and claimed to be God, and they were not God, that would be blasphemy. But if the Lord Jesus Christ is really the Messiah, and he was, he did not commit blasphemy. But you see, in their eyes, they would not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And so, them not accepting him as their Messiah, they accused him of blasphemy. Now, if we come over to chapter number 15 and we begin to see what Pilate asked the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to say this about Pilate. Pilate is a heathen. He does not care anything about blasphemy. In fact, the Jewish people had accused Pilate of the very same thing. When he brought the Roman standards into the city and it had the image of Caesar on there, what were they so upset about? Because he had committed blasphemy. He had blasphemed the God of heaven. He had broken the commandment of God, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Pilate had committed blasphemy, according to the Jews. And they had rioted and they had made a big deal out of it. But do you notice that Pilate never mentions blasphemy? It's almost like that's never even considered when it comes to Pilate and how he dealt with the Lord Jesus Christ. Pilate asked the Lord, in verse number 2, Pilate asked him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And he answering said unto him, "Thou sayest it." Now, the Jews changed their charge against the Lord Jesus. And that's why the whole trial of Jesus, all of it was just a put on. They weren't really trying to do anything other than put Jesus to death any way they could. And so the Jews had been upset over what they said, the blasphemy. But when they come to Pilate, they change the charges, and now they accuse the Lord Jesus Christ of subverting the Roman Empire. If you just quickly look over in Luke 23, and Mark doesn't mention as many details about this as Luke and John and Matthew do. But you'll see in Luke chapter number 23 in verses 1 through 5 that the Jews, they don't come to Pilate and talk about the Lord blaspheming or Jesus blaspheming. They come and they talk to him about civil matters. Luke chapter 23 and verse number 1. The Bible said, "And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, 'We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar.'" Now that was a lie. Because we've just studied back in Mark where they came to Jesus and they asked him, "Should we pay tribute to Caesar?" And he said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's." and unto God the things that are God's. The Lord Jesus never said not to pay unto Caesar. See, they falsely accused him. They lied. They lied about these things, saying, the end of verse number 2, saying that himself is Christ a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. So you see that when they came before Pilate, they tried to present the Lord Jesus Christ as some kind of rebel against the Roman Empire. They had to change their tactics. Now, if you went to court and you were charged with a certain crime and you were condemned with a certain crime, and then it went to another court and you find out in the other court that what had happened in the first court is not even mentioned, but in the second court there's a whole new list of charges, wouldn't you think there's something wrong about that? You study about the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a lot of things wrong that went on. In fact, there's nothing right about it. But here they come to Pilate. And it seems like Pilate goes for a time. It seems like Pilate tries to release the Lord Jesus Christ. I read in Luke 23, verse number 4, he said at first, he said, I find no fault in this man. That should have been the end of it. They came to Pilate. They got Pilate to try him. Pilate said, not guilty. I don't find any fault in this man. That should have been the end of it. But you got to realize Pilate is also a politician. And like most politicians, instead of doing right, he wants more to do what is popular. You know, he's got to think about his re-election. Now, he didn't have re-election. But that's what a lot of them are thinking about. They're thinking about votes. They're thinking about money. They're thinking about how is all this going to come out in the newspaper tomorrow morning. And Mark chapter 15, verse number 10, it says this about Pilate. For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. And these men are powerful men. These men, through their influence, have made Pilate look bad before. And all that's going through Pilate's mind. He would like to get rid of, to do something to get this off of his hands. Look at verse number 3 again in Mark 15. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. They accused him of many things. And we read about that over in Luke chapter number 23. This is what we know today as the right to remain silent. The right to remain silent is an ancient right. American laws were influenced by English laws. That just makes common sense, doesn't it? Because in the beginning, most people in America were of English descent. But English laws were influenced by Roman laws. If you know about world history, you see that the Romans, and they came on over into Britain. So there's a lot of influence there. And the right to remain silent, not to incriminate oneself, it's been around for thousands of years. And the Lord Jesus Christ exercised that here. He had already answered Pilate once, thou sayest it. When they kept at him, and they kept at him, and they accused of this, and they accused of that, and they kept bringing up things, and kept bringing out other accusations, the Lord Jesus Christ chose to remain silent. And sometimes remaining silent is the best thing that you can do. Especially when the accusers have already made up their minds. They'd already made up their minds. How they felt about the Lord Jesus, what they said about Him, what they were going to do to Him. They had already made up their minds. Truth was an irrelevant thing. They weren't really looking for truth, wanting, desiring. to find out what the real truth was. In fact, over in John chapter number 18, there's that famous interaction between Pilate and the Lord Jesus when Jesus was talking about the truth. And it said in John 18 in verse number 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." The Lord Jesus was very concerned with truth. And he said, everyone that follows me listens to my voice, knows the truth, hears the truth. But Pilate, he's not interested in dealing in truth. And I believe in verse number 38 that Pilate's answer unto him, Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" I believe that's how he said it. What is truth? Can you even really know the truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." People who are not used to dealing in truth. Pilate's not used to dealing in truth. His whole life, the way he leads, all of it's built on power and prestige and truth. Truth to a lot of people is an irrelevant thing. They don't deal in truth. And so their attitude towards truth is different. Pilate said, "What is truth?" Sort of like, "Is there even any such thing? Why bother? Let's just do what's expedient for us." Truth was irrelevant to Pilate. He wasn't really trying to get to it. But the Lord Jesus did answer him in Mark 15. So in verse 1, we find an alliance. In verse number 2, we find an answer. In verse number 3, we find accusations again. Verses 4 and 5, we find there's an admiration. That's what the word marveled means in verses 4 and 5. The Bible said, "And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled." And when we see that Pilate marveled, that means that there was an admiration for him. And what we have here, when we think about Jesus being brought before Pilate, when anyone comes face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it's Pilate or Herod or King Agrippa or somebody today that has the gospel presented unto them, when you come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to do something with him. And Pilate marveled at him. Pilate marveled at him as he saw and interacted with the Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't take him long to recognize that this was no regular person. The Lord Jesus Christ is different from anybody he had ever seen on trial before. The Lord Jesus. See, Pilate's all to pieces. The Jews are out of their mind. And the Lord Jesus Christ is just calm. He's in control. He's not frantically trying to defend himself, although he realizes, they all realize what's at stake here, and that's putting the Lord Jesus Christ to death. But the Lord Jesus is sitting there, and he's just as calm as can be. And Pilate's bound to notice. Pilate sees that there's something different about him. He is divine. Pilate, I mean, they've not even got done with their morning coffee yet. And while all this is going on, Pilate, somebody comes up and they, you know, maybe tap him on the shoulder. "I got a message for you." "What is it? I'm busy. Can't you see this is important? What's going on?" "No, this is from your wife. Tell her I'm busy." "No, this is important. Your wife said not to have anything to do with him." Do you remember that? I believe that's in Matthew chapter number 27. "Don't have anything to do with this just man. I've suffered many things because of him in a dream this night." He'd never had that happen before. This is different. And so the Bible said that Pilate, all this is going on, Pilate marveled at him. Pilate admired some things about him. When the Apostle Paul witnessed to King Agrippa and told him the gospel and preached to him the gospel, Agrippa said this, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." You see, when you meet, when you hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to do something with that. What do people do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if they don't accept Him by faith, what do? They try to forget Him, but He's unforgettable. They try to deny Him, but He's impossible to deny. They try to do all kinds of things, but there He is. Once you've come face to face with the Lord Jesus, you've got to do something with Him. And so the Bible said that Pilate marveled at Him. And then the last thing we'll point out in verse number 6, there's the alternative. Here's what a lot of people do with the Lord Jesus Christ that don't want to believe upon Him. They try to find an alternative. And that's what Pilate does. The Bible said in verse number 6, "Now at the feast, he released unto them one prisoner whomsoever they desired." Now that leads into what we'll look at next week. And he's trying to get them to take Barabbas instead. Or he's trying to release, he's trying to get him to release Jesus so that he can get his hands free of this, but they want Barabbas. See, that's how man is. Man always is trying to find an alternative to the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, there's two things that happen here, and Mark does not mention. But if you study this in Luke chapter number 23, what happened at this exact time, when Pilate heard that Jesus had been in Galilee, he said, "Boy, here's my opportunity. I'll send him to Herod." Now, that's not mentioned in the book of Mark, but it's mentioned in the book of John. It's mentioned in Luke chapter number 23. And so that's what he did at this point in verse number 6. He sent him to Herod. "I'll get rid of him that way. I'll get this off my plate this way. I'll push it off on somebody else." And the Bible says, if you study over there in Luke chapter number 23, that you see Pilate and Herod, they actually didn't like each other. And that was the Herod that put John the Baptist, that cut his head off. And Pilate and Herod didn't like each other, so he sent him quickly down to Herod. And what did Herod do? Like what a lot of people do, he sent him back. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to be the one. So he sends him back to Pilate. And that happens between verse number 6 or somewhere around verse number 6, verse number 7, but it's not mentioned in the book of Mark. And so that's one thing that happens. He's trying to find an alternative, some way to get this off of his plate. Then he offers between Jesus and Barabbas. He's trying to find an alternative, something to do. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 22 says, "There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." What do people try to do with Christ? Instead of just believing His Word, they try to say, "Well, I'll be a good person. My grandma's a good godly person. I'll get in on her coattails." People try to do all kinds of things. They try to reform. They try to say, "I'll do better." What can we do with the Lord Jesus Christ? You remember over there in Matthew chapter number 27, read over there just a couple of verses and I'll be done tonight. But Pilate is trying to get the Lord Jesus off of his hands. He's trying to get out of this dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's impossible to get away from. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus which is called Christ?" Isn't that the cry of the multitudes? What do we do with him? What do we do with him? What do you want me to do with him? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. That was their cry. That's what they wanted. Verse 24 of Matthew 27 said, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. What did Pilate try to do? Pilate tried to wash his hands of the Lord Jesus. And you know, there's a lot of people, that's exactly what they try and do. I don't want anything. I don't want anything to do with him. But once you've come face to face, once you've heard the gospel, once you've been presented with the truth, just a little water's not going to wash it off. We've got to do something personally with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what Pilate failed to do. What I'm saying tonight, there is no alternative to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what people try to do. No matter how they try to put him off, no matter how they try to forget about or wash their hands of it, once you've been presented with truth, you've got to do something with it. And the only right thing to do with it is to accept it for what it is. Truth is very important to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the child of God. John chapter 8 and verse 32 and 36, Jesus said, if the Son therefore shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But you got to do something with it. And Pilate didn't. He tried everything around to not deal with the truth. But you know, he still had to deal with it in the end. And that's the way it is for all of us. And so we'll close with that tonight. There's no alternative to saving faith. And Pilate had to do something with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Barabbas is who we'll look at next time, Lord willing, and that's verses 7 through 15. But a lot of good things in there that we read about that. And I would encourage you, read Matthew chapter 27, Luke chapter 23, John chapter number 18. There's a whole lot more detail, and I'll not get into all of that. It would take us a long time, and we're trying to move along in our verses. And so I appreciate your good attention tonight.